The Volume.
Boxing with Chris Mannix is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win.
This is Boxing with Chris Mannix.
Oh, somebody punch him in the face.
Anthony Joshua is a composed and ferocious finisher. Watch this.
Andy Ruiz is the heavyweight champion.
Hosted by SI's Chris Mannix.
That was my moment.
Now with interviews, analysis, and everything going on in the world of boxing.
When you have talent, you are given another chance.
Here's Chris Mannix.
Emergency podcast time. First time we're going live on YouTube. Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated, The Volume, of course. And Sergio Mora, the former junior middleweight champion, joining me on the podcast. I am in Las Vegas. I was just ringside at Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury. Fury wins by 11th round knockout. Fight of the year front runner by far. A lot to unpack in this fight. But Sergio, just give me your first impressions of Wilder going down against Fury.
I don't know if you can hear that, but that's applause. I mean, if I could stand up here, I would give him a standing ovation. That was a classic. Mannix, that was a classic. Wilder went 0-2-1 in a trilogy, in a winless trilogy. But we're going to be talking about it because it was exciting, man. And, you know, leading up to this, I didn't think it was needed. But in some way, boxing needed this. It's just two big men slugging it out. And my first impression was this was a very winnable fight for Wilder. This was a fight where Fury could have lost. And Wilder didn't take advantage of that. So this was the worst Fury that he could have saw, and this was the best Wilder we could have saw, and it didn't happen. But what a fight. What an exciting fight.
Hold on. I disagree with that. I disagree with it was the worst Fury we could have seen. I also disagree with the fact that you say it's the best Wilder we could have seen. Now, let's start with Wilder. Wilder came out, and he was doing the things he talked about doing in the build to the fight. He was following the lead of Malik Scott. He was throwing the jab to the body more. He was throwing right hands to the body. He was dedicated to that body attack. That was fine. But one of the things I said, Sergio, to you on this podcast, to you on the DAZN Boxing Show, I wrote it in print, the muscle that Deontay Wilder was carrying was not going to be good for him. Deontay Wilder came in at 238 pounds, and he believed that 238 pounds would make him stronger, more effective, more durable. I didn't see it. I talked to a lot of fighters who had told me muscle makes you tired. It makes you heavy. And you could see, like, end of that second round, I'm sitting next to a couple of riders there, and we're looking at each other going, is Deontay Wilder tired? Is he fatigued? So I just thought that proved to be. He might have lost anyway. Probably would have. Fury, I think, is a cut above him. But I thought that was a mistake, and I thought that led to him being so tired for most of that fight that it ultimately cost him.
You know what gets you tired more than big bulging muscles? Missing big wild shots. That's what got Wilder tired, missing those big shots. And the fact that he was able to drop Fury, and he was so animated, the adrenaline came up and he went for the knockout, that wears you out when you don't knock out your opponent. And look, it wasn't the worst Fury, but it wasn't the best version of Fury. The head movement wasn't there. The upper body movement wasn't there. The best punch he was throwing and hurting Wilder was the jab, the power jab. He wasn't throwing that enough. The footwork wasn't there. The combinations, he had flashes of it, but it wasn't the best version of the Gypsy King. And it was the best version of Wilder. We saw little hints of the strategy he was trying to implement, and the raw power was there. The hunger was there. But he's always going to be one step behind Fury, one punch behind Fury. And this was the best chance for Deontay Wilder to beat Tyson Fury. And it was almost there. That's what made it so exciting. It was almost there, but he was just a little bit behind because he's just not good enough to beat the Gypsy King. And it's sad to say, but it was an exciting trilogy that he went 0-2-1.
Yeah, so we get into the third round of this fight. and Tyson Fury puts Deontay Wilder down for the first time with a right hand. Wilder, as I said, looked gassed at that point. I thought it was only a matter of time before Fury knocked him out. And then the fourth round comes around, Sergio, and Deontay Wilder drops Tyson Fury two times. And you can make a strong argument that Tyson Fury was saved by the bell. I mean, the clock ran out before Wilder could come in and go for that third and perhaps final knockdown. Maybe, maybe not. However you want to look at it. What were you thinking when Wilder put Fury down those two times?
I thought Fury was getting a little bit too aggressive. He was coming forward a little bit too much, getting comfortable blocking those big right hands of Wilder just with his hands up. You don't do that. You don't do that with Deontay Wilder. You give him the head movement, which is what Fury did in the first and the second fight. He didn't do that this fight. He just was aggressive. He was seen forward. He was a little, both of them were tired, but this was a lazy version of Fury. It wasn't that hungry, athletic Gypsy King that we're used to seeing. You know, there was a little bit missing.
When have you seen a athletic Gypsy King? I mean, he's been at lighter weights, but he has not been athletic. He is fluid as a boxer, fast-handed as a boxer, moves his head really well, but that spare tire is always around his midsection. It just depends on how big it gets in between fights. I don't think he's ever really been athletic. That looked a lot like the usual Tyson Fury we've seen the last couple of fights.
No. Just because he's out of shape doesn't say he's not athletic. You don't need to have muscles to be fluid. I mean, that's what Fury is known for his upper body movement, his ring IQ, the fact that he knows how to land the jab, his aggression, his intelligence. He had a little bit of all that right there, but it was just a little lazy. It wasn't as sharp as he normally is, and the upper body movement wasn't there for me, and that's what gives Wilder so much trouble, trying to pin down that upper body movement. He had the right idea going to the belly with that jab. I like that strategy, but it only happened for about one round, then he got rid of it. So it was just not enough for Wilder and Fury. It wasn't the best version of him.
Yeah, he got rid of it because, and you know, this is where those situations where everyone saying something turns out to be right. Oftentimes the media is not right about their assessment of fights, but bringing in a guy like Malik Scott, who is a first-time trainer, really, at least at this type of level, and who has a completely different style, you're not going to be able to have your fighter like kind of adjust that style, take hold of that style in just one fight. It takes time to really bond with a fighter and develop a style. So what we saw from Wilder in that first round, we knew it was only a matter of time before he went back to being the fighter that we've seen for the entirety of his career. And really, it was one round. Like, he kind of went back to it in the second round, throwing jabs. But after the midway point of that second round, it was just the same old Deontay Wilder throwing the 1-2 right down the middle, trying to land the big right hand. It was incredibly effective in the fourth round when he put Fury down. I'm thinking at the start of the fifth, like, what are we going to see? But I thought Fury was in excellent shape for him. Like, he's never going to look like Deontay Wilder, but I thought he was in excellent shape, wasn't breathing through his mouth, didn't look tired, got caught in the fourth round, but recovered, went back to the jab. Like you said, I mean, this was just kind of vintage Tyson Fury. You know, maybe he was a little bit different than the fighter we've seen over the last couple of fights, but not that much different to me.
I don't think it was vintage Tyson Fury, and I don't think it was sharp Tyson Fury. There was something lethargic about him. He came in a little bit heavier. I don't know.
Yeah, four pounds.
The gleam in that eye wasn't there. The swag wasn't there. He had hints of it. It wasn't there. But it was still enough to be wild. I'm not taking nothing away from Tyson Fury. The dude's a beast. But there was something missing. And when time goes on, maybe in the press conference, or maybe when he starts doing interviews, we're going to find out if COVID had something to do with it. But that wasn't the classic Gypsy King we're used to seeing, with the jab in the upper body movement, the light feet, the athleticism. I'm not talking about the spare tire. I'm not talking about all that. I'm just talking about the fluidity of his punches, of his footwork, of his confidence, of the swag. A little bit of that was missing in Fury.
Well, I mean, look, he was off for 20 months. So wasn't Deontay Wilder, but that takes your toll on him. Plus, as you said, he had COVID twice, he says. Yeah, inactivity, catching COVID, multiple training camps. It can certainly have an effect on your body. But I saw a guy that, outside of that fourth round, was excellent throughout the course of this fight. And Deontay Wilder, to me, the big takeaway from Deontay Wilder is that if he was in better shape, and I'm not talking muscles, that's, as you know, that's not what it takes to be a successful high-level boxer. If he was more focused on the road work and being in better shape and not what he looked like in the mirror, I think he would have had more success. You're shaking your head, but tell me why.
Because Wilder, what he needs to do, he has to have a 10-week camp of just shadow boxing. I'll be honest with you, without punching anything, he needs to learn how to miss and not look clumsy when he misses. He needs to work on footwork. He needs to go to like a football NFL camp and work on footwork and athleticism and speed. He doesn't need a brute power. He has raw power, and we saw today that he has raw heart. This dude has heart. Wilder, you know, he impressed me today with his ability. I've never been impressed with his ability. I've been impressed by his power, and today he impressed me with his heart. But he needs to learn how to look athletic when he misses, you know, because when he misses, he looks clumsy, and that tires you out because boxers aren't accustomed to missing. They don't train to miss. They bang heavy bangs. They bang sparring partners. But once they miss, the legs aren't used to that, especially when you're 6'6" and weigh 250 pounds like these guys are. So they're not used to missing. Tyson Fury, on the other hand, he's a little bit more used to missing. He doesn't look clumsy when he does that. So I think if they ever do fight again or moving forward, Wilder just needs to work on shadow boxing, on missing, on footwork, and forget about being the bronze bomber and that one right hand that he has. We know he has it. He just needs to worry on the small things. And those are the things that are the most difficult to pick up.
Yeah, we'll get to the future of both men in a couple of minutes. But I want to go back to the seventh round of this fight. That was, there were no knockdowns in the seventh round, but I was sitting there and watching Fury just batter Wilder around the ring, watching Wilder have his arm up on the ropes, which he did for so much of that fight, I'm thinking to myself, this is the time when a normal corner would probably think about throwing in the towel. This is the time when Mark Breland or whoever else might say, look, Deontay, you are taking a pounding from this guy. Yes, you always have that big right hand to fall back on, but you are looking exhausted. You are taking a beating. There are more things in life than just trying to go the distance with this guy. Was there a point in the fight for you that you said, man, maybe this should be stopped?
There was 2 points in that fight where I even yelled out in the group of people I was watching with. I said, they should stop this fight, but they're not going to stop this fight because Malik Scott's not going to lose his 10%. And if they do fight again, he wants to be in that corner. But if he stops this fight, Malik Scott's fired. We know that's how Deontay Wilder works. So they're going to let this warrior go out in the shield. And that's what happened, man. I mean, it was a back and forth, but I knew Wilder was going to go out. And now there's no excuses. He got beat by the bigger man. This was literally a war of attrition. And it was a hell of a fight, a classic, to tell you the truth, in my opinion. And we saw a warrior go out on his shield. That's exactly what Deontay Wilder wanted in his last fight. Let me go out swinging. And now he did that, man. It was just a plot to him, and it was just a great thing to watch as a fan.
Yeah, and I give credit to the referee in this fight because I think the referee probably had that in the back of his mind where he's like, I'm not, you know, there are probably times I could step in, but I'm not going to do it. I saw the referee give a long look in that seventh round to stopping the fight while I was just kind of just staggering around the ring, grabbing the ropes, leaning into the corners, taking a beating from Tyson Fury. But the referee did not stop the fight. Look, Wilder had some moments, but there was one moment, I think it was the ninth, the 10th round, at the very end of it, when he got Tyson Fury into the corner and was landing some combinations. Fury, like it, to some people it may have looked like he was being hurt by them, but Fury actually tapped his head as he was coming out of the corner, basically saying, come on, hit me again, because there was not enough steam on those punches for Wilder to really hurt them. Once you got through the first couple of rounds, he just wasn't throwing with that same power. And that goes back to the conditioning that I was talking about. He just wasn't in the kind of shape to throw power punches for 9, 10, 11 rounds.
And there was more inside fighting in this fight. There was more wrestling in this
fight.
Let me
do this. That's a good one. That's good. This was one of the big keys to the fight. Tyson Fury, and you and I have talked about this, Tyson Fury fights like a big man. We did an emergency podcast after the Joshua Usyk fight, and we bemoaned how Joshua did not fight like a big man. Tyson Fury fights like a big man. He uses every tool on his belt, and one of those tools is leaning on Deontay Wilder. From the first round on, he was draping that 6'9", 277-pound frame on Deontay Wilder. And Sergio, you can be as bulked up as you want up here, but if your legs aren't really strong that is going to take it out of you. And you could see almost, it's like in a video game where you see the energy bar on your character go down, like in real time. That's what it was like watching Deontay Wilder. I thought it was, look, people could say, he's holding too much. It's tactics. If you have a size advantage, you use it. And I thought Tyson Fury in this fight used it as well as I've ever seen him use it before.
Chris Mannix, you just love stealing words from my mouth. Man, that's exactly what I was going to say. You know me because you've been around me too long, but that's exactly what I was going to say, except for that cheesy video game analogy. But yes, Tyson Fury knows how to fight like a big man, because when you're that big and when you have an opponent that tired and he leans over you, you put your weight on him. All you're going to get is a warning from the referee, but the damage on the legs of your opponent have been done. That's a ploy that we do in the gym. That's something we do in sparring. That's something that every fighter knows, especially veterans know. And Wilder didn't know how to react to it. So he just, both of them looked tired. But Fury knew how to fight tired a little bit better, a lot better than Deontay Wilder. And that's body language right there. Whenever you see your opponent, you know, struggling, knowing that both of you are tired, but his legs are gone, that just gives you more motivation. Tyson Fury, even though it wasn't, in my opinion, the best version of him, he's just a naturally better fighter, and he's a lot more smarter, especially when he's tired.
Well, from the start of the eighth round on, one thing I noticed was Deontay Wilder was taking every single second on his stool. Usually, as you know, with 10 seconds left, they blow the whistle, the corner leaves the ring, the fighter usually pops up. That's what Fury did. Fury popped up at the end of every round and kind of walked towards the middle of the ring. Maybe that was gamesmanship, but his body language looked great. Deontay Wilder, he had his legs splayed out. He had his head down. He was spitting out water up until the very last second when that bell rang. There's a couple of times where the referee had to stall the start of the round because they had to get the stool out because Deontay was sitting on it for so long. You saw the work that Fury put in on the body of Deontay Wilder, leaning on him, paid dividends in the second half of that fight. That was a big reason why I thought he was able to be successful.
Someone must have told you that, because I don't think you would have picked up on that body language, or maybe you've been listening to what I say, you know, more often. But yeah, body language says a lot. Poker players will tell you that. Anytime a fighter goes to his corner and he lays back and he puts his arms against the ropes and he lays his feet out, you know, these are signs that you pick up. You know, whenever a fighter leans forward, like for instance, the great Chavez, he always leaned forward. He waited till the last second to get up, but his body language showed you that he was ready to go forward. Anytime a fighter's leaning back with his elbows against the ropes, bad body language. That's why you always see trainers put the fighter's arms down, and because it's body language telling you, hey man, you got to let this guy know that you want. Do you want to go out there and fight more? And these are things that a wily fighter like, you know, Tyson, he's just across from you. So these are all things that I'm surprised you picked up, but fighters see it all the time.
I see plenty and I say plenty in our broadcast. So calm down with that critique. All right, let's shut up. You're an idiot. Let's get into the future of Deontay Wilder, because you've talked about Malik Scott wanting to protect his 10% down the line. Maybe there's a fourth fight. I just don't see it, Sergio. Deontay Wilder is going to be 36 years old in a couple of weeks. He has now been not just beaten in his last two fights, he has been beaten down in his last two fights. Stopped 20 months ago and been knocked out cold in this last fight. So to come back, it's going to mean multiple kind of tune-up fights, rebuild your confidence, rebuild your skills. Maybe he could have done that at 26. I don't know if he's going to do it or want to do it at 36. Use for an example here, Billy Joe Saunders after the Canelo Alvarez fight. Billy Joe Saunders still very much in the prime of his career. We have not heard Billy Joe sounding interested in boxing since that fight. That's largely because he went to the mountaintop. He took his shot. He lost. He made a bunch of money for it. Now he just doesn't have kind of the fire in his belly to go and do it. I question whether Wilder at this stage of his career is going to have that fire in his belly to come back and fight the Robert Heleniuses or Andy Ruiz's or Charles Martin's to put himself in position for a Fury or a Joshua or Usyk fight in 2022 or 2023. It might be that long before Wilder puts himself in position. He may not even get there. I mean, the shine is definitely off him, at this point. Like, Andy Ruiz has to be watching him saying, look, I'm fat, but I'm in better condition and shape than Deontay Wilder. I mean, Robert Helenius had a win over Adam Kovnatsky in the undercard. You know, he's 37 years old as well, but he could probably think, I could stop Deontay Wilder. So there's no guarantee he even gets there. So I just wonder, and I, you know, it's tough to like to say for sure after a fight like this, because there's so much energy involved and there's a tendency to react quickly. But I think we may have seen the last of Deontay Wilder. What do you think?
No, I think matchmaking will be the next thing for him. And I love that fight with Helenius, another huge fighter coming off a big win. That's a winnable fight for Deontay Wilder. So in boxing, you're only one knockout away from getting that shine back. So that shine that he lost today or in the last couple of fights, he can get that back with one devastating knockout, like a knockout that he had against Brazil. He can come back and do that against Helenius. He's back. Doesn't necessarily mean that he can come back and win the world championship again, but that shine will come back. People will be interested because that's what power does. People love power punchers and people love big brutes like Deontay Wilder. Plus, you know what? Not for nothing. He knows how to sell himself as a bad guy. You know, so everyone needs that bad guy. He knows how to self-promote. He knows how to be that one unlikable figure, and he takes it and runs with it. And with that power,
but how do you, Sergio, how do you do that? Yourself, like, let me ask you this. How do you do that, though? I mean, Deontay Wilder talked a lot of shit in the build-up to this fight. Said that Tyson Fury could never knock him out. Said that, you know, said that Tyson Fury cheated in multiple different ways before the last fight. So he has a lot of stuff. I'm not sure how you kind of turn around and rebuild it. Like, yeah, everybody's different, but I would imagine his confidence has got to be at rock bottom, at least as a fighter right now. I mean, I don't know. You're the fighter. You've had ups and downs in your career. I mean, I just don't know what impact these types of beatings will take on him. Like, again, these weren't losses. They were beatings that he took from Tyson Fury. I'm not sure how you come back from that.
Hey, listen, Mr. Boston College, if you cuss, I'm going to tell you how he gets it back, by knocking motherfuckers out. He comes back and lands that big right hand and lays someone straight out. That's how the confidence comes back. That's exactly how the fans, you know, get the sensation of, like, I want to see this again. I want to see, however you say, four fights. We see a trilogy and quadruple?
Quad,
whatever.
Trilogy.
We want to see the fourth fight. That's how you
why,
do it.
Why, like, wait, you want to see the fourth fight?
You know, I didn't want to see the third fight. It was unnecessary.
So
no, I didn't want to see the third fight. But guess what? That was a hell of a classic heavyweight matchup between two
fun
towers of men. So do I want to see the fourth fight? Maybe not next. But like I said, if Wilder could come back and knock someone out, spark them out flat, yeah, I'll take a fourth fight.
You know, there'll be time to get into Deontay Wilder's legacy once he ultimately retires. But you and I discussed this and have discussed this. Like, you know, what is Deontay Wilder's career? Like, I'm a Hall of Fame voter. I don't think I'd vote for him in the Hall of Fame, because even though he had a 5.5-year run as heavyweight champion, he had one quality win, or at least one win over one quality fighter, that being Luis Ortiz. Like, the other fights, the Dominic Brazils, the Johan Duapases, I mean, these are not high level opponents, and some of that's been circumstance, right? Alexander Povetkin, that would have been a good win for him. Povetkin tested positive for a banned substance. The Joshua fight couldn't get put together for political reasons. He had opportunities to burnish that resume taken off the table from him. But at this point, like, you know, he's like an attraction, but I don't know if you can ever say he was a great fighter. That's just kind of where I land on it.
I don't consider him as a great fighter either, and I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but he has great power and Hall of Fame power, and people remember that. You know, people love knockouts, and he's always going to be remembered for that. Maybe someone that was just, you know, one big win away from making the Hall of Fame or doing something great. But you know what? There's punchers that people remember. Julian Jackson, he's not a Hall of Famer. He's one of the hardest punchers in history. Ernie Shavers, one of the hardest punchers in history. The list goes on. Punchers usually, you know, it's hard for them to make the Hall of Fame, but people remember them as devastating knockout artists. And I think that's where Deontay Wilder is going to land on. He's probably not going to make it to Canastota, but he's going to make it to everyone's brain and in people's mind.
He definitely does. You know, his power, you know, rivals that of Mike Tyson, some of the great punchers of boxing history. One last thought on the fight itself. What did you think of the count after the second knockdown by Deontay Wilder of Tyson Fury in that fourth round? There were a lot of people I saw on social media and elsewhere thinking it was a slow count by the referee. I couldn't sort of tell in real time, but could you notice anything about the count on that fourth round?
You know, I can probably go back and find something wrong with it, but it's not egregious. It wasn't, you know, Buster Douglas and Mike Tyson slow. No, I don't think. I mean, you can always go back to any fight and find controversy. I don't think this should be one of them. I thought, you know, I think it was Mora, the referee. I thought he did a great job. These are two big men, and you try not to get in the way with them. But I think it was a pretty good job, and maybe kind of a little bit slow. But I don't think it was a slow count and done on purpose. No.
Well, one other thing on the weight thing too, Deontay Wilder, who did not do a post-fight interview, just issued a quote, said, "I'm not sure what happened. I know that in training he did certain things. I also knew he didn't come to camp. He didn't come in at 277 to be a ballet dancer. He came to lean on me, to try to rough me up, and he succeeded." So, you know, Wilder acknowledging kind of what we all saw, like Fury got physical with him and made it really hard for him to win that fight. Last thought, Tyson Fury, his future. It's not Anthony Joshua. If Dillian White wins his upcoming fight against Otto Wallin, which is a tough fight for White. Wallin's a very good fighter. I think we will likely see Dillian White take on Tyson Fury. That's a huge fight in the UK. Probably does a massive crowd at some kind of indoor soccer stadium or something like that. I think that, and that's a pretty good fight. I mean, Dillian White's been waiting for a world title shot for years at this point. And even though Fury would be a heavy favorite, he's bigger, he's faster, he's just a better boxer than Dillian White. Dillian White, kind of like Deontay Wilder, always has that equalizer, that big left hook that he's landed so many times on so many opponents. So I think that's probably where Fury's headed. What do you think?
That makes sense in the UK. I think, you know, now that, you know, crowds are back, that fight easily fills out a big stadium. And Dillian White always comes to fight. He's the number one mandatory now. Yeah, that's an excellent fight. Now, if you want another exciting fight, you know, you can come over here and fight an Andy Ruiz type fight, you know, or if you want to stay busy, there's plenty of fights in the heavyweight division. But if you want to keep it in the UK across the pond, I think Dillian White's the best way to go.
Yeah, Fury mentioned Dillian White during the buildup for this fight. Said, when I get through Deontay Wilder, I'm going straight to Dillian White. No cuts really on Fury, or nothing significant. So he theoretically could in the next 4 or 5 months fight Dillian White. So we'll see what happened. Sergio, good job, man. I'm actually amazed you made it back in time to do this podcast, but I'm really proud of you for, you know, doing it.
Hey, let me tell you something. Weren't you just pressed, bro? Where's the excitement, man? You just saw one of the best heavyweight championships in the world live, and you're boring, bro.
I'm not boring. What are you talking about? I was already kind of I was in the building. There was a lot of energy there at that point. What do you want? What do you want from me?
I want invigoration out of you. I want excitement. Okay,
that's not a word.
The blood, the liveness. Where's the liveness, Maddox?
That's not there. That's not. We'll see you in Fresno, Sergio.